Hi, and welcome to Life Recovery Bible with Laura on City of Angels Radio. I'm outside today, so please excuse any outdoor noises that might disturb today our time together. We're going to start with the Serenity Prayer and taking a few deep breaths. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Taking as Christ did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. And let's go to the front of the Life Recovery Bible to the steps that we're familiar with and the corresponding scriptures. These are so comforting, especially after 4 years of reading them and praying them for the past 4 years every Thursday. Step 1. We admitted that we were powerless over our problems, that our lives had become unmanageable. And Paul writes in Romans, I know that nothing good lives in me. I want to do what's right, but I can't. Step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And Paul writes to the Philippians, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Step 3. We made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. And Paul writes to Romans, Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. Step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. In Lamentations, it says, Let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Step 5. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. James writes in the New Testament, Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And James, again, he writes, Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up in honor. Step 7. We humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And John writes, If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Step 8. We made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Luke writes, Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Step 9. We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And Matthew writes, If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar, and someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, and then go and be reconciled to that person first. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Step 10. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Colossians, Paul writes to Colossians, Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And Paul writes to the Galatians, Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So then let's turn over to page A14. And look at the 12 gifts of life recovery. And these 12 attributes are not just results or outcomes for people in recovery, but truly gifts from God. They show that recovery doesn't merely provide escape from a destructive problem. It also points toward the possibility of a new and exceptional life with Christ. Number one, the first gift that we receive, hope. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. And that's Paul writing to the Romans. Number two, the second gift is the gift of power. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's Philippians. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy. The third gift is the gift of character. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Galatians. The fourth gift is the gift of clarity. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. 1 Corinthians. Number five is the gift of security. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. Proverbs. If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Since He did not even spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Romans. The sixth gift is the gift of abundance. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Philippians. Wisdom. Fear of the Lord is a foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Proverbs. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. That's James. The eighth gift is self-control. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. That's Romans. But the Holy Spirit produces self-control. Galatians. The ninth gift is the gift of freedom. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Galatians. Number 10 is happiness. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Psalm 119. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. Proverbs. Serenity. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate me from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor my worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate me from God's love. Romans. And the 12th gift is the gift of peace. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And that's John, and he's writing about Jesus saying that. And Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So I hope everybody's been doing well during this pandemic and keeping safe. I think God has given us yet another opportunity to spend time with Him, our family, ourselves, getting our acts together a little bit, and talking about this time that we have had together and being able to still meet on Zoom and have Bible meetings or program meetings online and virtual meetings. I think we've all found how important it is to be together and to be in community, and how we've missed that and how precious that is. And also that connection to Jesus is so important, and I hope many of you have just deepened your faith as you've been able to spend maybe some more time with him. And I'm looking at John in chapter 15, and it's Jesus the true vine. And it's John chapter 15. And in your Life Recovery Bible, that's page 1366. And it's about sharing together. And it says, Jesus, the true vine. Jesus says, I'm the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. My Father cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And my Father prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. And some of the footnotes for chapter 15 at the bottom of page 1366. God desires that our life be like the fruitful branches of a grapevine. The only way to be fruitful is to remain connected to Jesus, the vine, and allow God, the gardener, to prune our life to stimulate growth and fruitfulness. It is God's cultivating, weeding, and pruning in our life that brings forth spiritual fruit, character development, and progress in recovery. Just as sustenance for the desired fruit comes through the vine, so fullness of life comes through the faith in Jesus Christ. We need to stay close to Jesus, the source of power and practical help for recovery. And the next footnote is 15:15. Jesus demonstrated God's desire to be our friend, not our taskmaster. Many of us in recovery have never experienced God on such friendly, intimate terms. Rare in our experience is the authority figure who actually seeks to confide in us and befriend us rather than lording his power over us. So we find it hard to imagine God as a friend. Jesus urges us to trust in God and in Jesus. By becoming our friend, God, through Jesus, empowers us and enables us to become accountable, responsible, and trustworthy. And on page 1367, I'll end with step 12, sharing together. And this is based on what we just read about Jesus being the true vine in chapter 15. The step is, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Since we have worked through the 12 steps, we are in a special position to carry the message to others. We can recognize the warning signs of addictive compulsive tendencies in ourselves and in those around us. When touching on such deep and sensitive issues, it's important to speak in the language of love, not condemnation. The Bible tells us that if someone is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person, back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. And that's from Galatians. The command was the one Jesus taught his disciples. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. That's from John. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way as I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We are not the Savior, but we can love others as He's loved us. Love goes beyond mere words. Sometimes it's spoken in silence, when we don't condemn someone who comes to us looking for help. Love doesn't just tell them what the problems are. It helps carry the weight of their burdens. We can be part of a support network to help carry our friends until they are able to take steps toward recovery on their own initiative. Wow, what a great message. And it reminds me of the relationship I've been having lately with my oldest son, who's 21. And he has been struggling, as many young people do, as I did, trying to find myself, trying to make others around me happy and accept me for the choices that I'm making in my life, about decisions of what to be and what to do and how to do it going forward regarding careers and growing up and being a part of the world and being responsible. I decided to just pick up and start drinking and just kind of live my life however I wanted, having fun, seeking pleasure. And I see that my oldest son is aware of decisions that I've made. And I think he is learning things one day at a time. And I have to say that I'm so grateful to the program for giving me the slogans that I've been able to use when speaking to my five children. And it's always bothered me a little bit that the verse from Galatians says that if someone is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Because many of us don't think of ourselves as godly, but the Holy Spirit is able to take hold of us and use us. And if I submit to being an instrument of the Holy Spirit, then He will just work through my vocal cords to help me to comfort and soothe and direct my son and my other sons and my one daughter and even those people around me. And it's just not easy. You know, family members are the ones that we often struggle with the most, because they're just that. They're our family, and we've grown up with them. Our whole personalities and worldviews are often directed by what we've experienced, and it's very difficult to stand on our own and to be our own person and to go the way that we know that we need to go, the healthy way, the way of God. And the Holy Spirit is just available for us, and that's why Jesus left the Holy Spirit, so we wouldn't be on our own, that we could do amazing, incredible things, even greater than He did, is what He told us when He left the disciples, you know. And I'm just so grateful, you know, that I'm able to see and be aware that I can share my son's burdens, not just tell him what to do. I can share my experience. He shared with me something he learned from a counselor, that time takes time. And that was the Holy Spirit working with him and his counselor. And then he shared it with me, so I was able to think, wow, what hope. He's only 21 and he's learned that time takes time. And I'm able to say to him, you know, we have a saying in AA that one day at a time, and that more will be revealed, and first things first. And I'm just so grateful for the people in the rooms that loved me and didn't condemn me. And I think that is laying down one's life for another. Not that you would throw yourself in front of a bullet for someone else. It's not that kind of, you know, laying down your life. It's the kind where you set yourself aside and let other people around you, our friends and family and children, talk and say what they need to say without our judgment or condemnation, but with our encouragement, our support, our love, our acceptance unconditionally. I just try to always keep open communication with my children no matter what's going on. And that is difficult. Some of my friends say that they have bitten their lip until it bleeds. And I think that's a big part of laying my life down for my children, is to bite my lip, because I have the experience. I've been there. I've done that. But what I need to do is to listen to them and love them and really hear what they have to say. So I hope everybody's well, and let's close by praying the Our Father with the emphasis on Thy will be done. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Peace.
Say what you want me to say, do what you want me to do, be what you want me to be.